Talk about some talent. Wow. And I mean all of them, not just the horn players, all those musicians just playing awesome. All right, so here we go. Talking about these electric planes. How does that make you feel so far? Are you trying to compare the way you might feel 30,000 feet in the air in a plane powered by a battery compared to flying 30,000 feet in the air in a plane powered by gas, by fuel? In July 2018, Norway's transport minister, who's the head of the country's airport company, Avinor, took a very special flight. In front of the press, he and another person squeezed into the cockpit of a two-seat plane made by a Slovenian company, Pipistrel. With Falk Peterson at the controls, the pair took a short flight lasting a few minutes around Oslo in an Alpha Electro G2. The flight's novelty is partly explained by the aircraft's name. It's entirely powered by electricity. Battery-powered aircraft have made the leap from fantasy to drawing board to production. But that's just a start. Solvik Olsen and Falk Peterson, the two flying in that plane, weren't just flying the plane just to be flying it. It was to underline one of Norway's most dramatic plans to cut down on its carbon emissions in the decades ahead. By 2040, Norway intends to have all short-haul flights leaving its airports to be on aircraft powered by electricity. All of its short-haul flights by 2040. That's roughly 22 years from now. There are companies and government leaders around the world taking this very, very seriously, this whole issue of taking better care of our Earth and this climate, the only climate that we have. It is the only one. We keep messing it up, we're in big trouble. We take better care of it, sure enough, better for us. Here's the thing. By 2040, all of Norway's short-haul flights powered by electricity. One of the most far-reaching promises yet to cut down on aviation's contribution to greenhouse gas emissions. But there is one major barrier. There are no airliner-sized electric-powered aircraft being built yet. By the way, I mentioned earlier that I think it's pretty cool that we have people who are doing well enough financially to own their own jets. People who are doing well enough in business that maybe their company-owned business. They have a company-owned jet. Company-owned jet, privately-owned, whichever way. Now, you know what I want to ask you. How are things going with you when it comes to the whole notion of the possible transition from fuel-powered jets to battery-powered jets, electric jets? Have you been giving that a lot of thought? Is that something you might be interested in at some point? Cutting down on carbon emissions. Will the planes pretty much work like the cars have? Again, it hasn't taken that long either for electric cars, battery-powered cars, however you want to word it, to get to the point where their ride is just as smooth as the fuel-powered cars. They're just as quiet as fuel-powered cars. They have just as much torque. I mean, they can go from 0 to 60 in as little time or less time than fuel-powered automobiles. Luxury features just as great as those that you'd find in a comparable gas-powered, fuel-powered car. Now, you know what I'm getting to. This has happened for cars. It's happening for buses. How about it's happening for trucks? How about planes? Why not planes too? Who knows? Some of you may be able to help invest in companies that can help us really get this literally off the ground. Electric airliner size, electric powered aircraft, none of that's being built yet. They're starting smaller. The electric aircraft market currently consists of small aircraft. The one that the Norwegian pair flew barely has room for two fully grown adults to fly together. As a matter of fact, the two men who did fly that flight together said that they went on strict diets before the flight so that they wouldn't be too big to get in the plane. But Falk Peterson says that's going to change pretty quickly. Norway is a large country, have a multitude of small, short-haul airports. And so he says that a few years ago, Navy's aviation chiefs had a skeptical view of all electric aviation because they were thinking, come on, let's be real. Then about 3 years ago, their board of directors went down to Airbus in Toulouse. And Airbus said that they'd been doing a lot of work in the area already. Boeing, through the aircraft maker Zunim Aero, and also with NASA, working on battery-powered planes, electric planes. So that's why this company in Norway decided to have a program to electrify the flights in Norway. Norway's a good place for experiments like this, too. Much of the country's terrain is mountainous, and there are many offshore islands, which means there are a lot of short-haul flights. In fact, Avinor runs no fewer than 46 airports in Norway. Road, rail, or boat travel often take a lot longer than a short flight, especially during the winter when snow and ice can block roads and tracks. So there you have another reason to consider flying. Although the mechanics and maintenance people do have to go about the business of making sure that they de-ice those windows and the wings when, you know, the weather's trying to act up, they get that taken care of, engine's warm, you don't have to worry about snow and ice blocking the path the way it can with roads and tracks, as they mentioned. So a lot of the flights there in Norway are only 15 to 30 minutes. Again, short haul. How many of you consider it a pretty short haul to fly, say, from the distance of Augusta to Atlanta? 30 to 45 minutes, you're there. So you're talking a short haul. And they have all sorts of mountainous terrain. That's why they decided to set up a program where they can actually have aircraft makers tend to for it in 1 or 2 years. Norway wants those aircraft makers to come up with a 25 to 30 seat airliner powered by electric motors. And I know some of you might be thinking, come on now, 20 to 30 seats, that's like a upsized crop duster. Who's going to fly in that? I hear you loud and clear, but keep in mind now, think about how many people some of these automobiles get, you know, can transport right now. Some of them more than others, right? And think about how long it took for us to start making vans that would, in mass numbers, that would transport more people, even within a family, than the typical car. So, got to start somewhere. Better to start, you know, small and work our way up. Try to keep things as safe as possible. But they're hoping, again, to have 25 to 30-seat airliners as early as 2025. We're talking 7 years from now, from the date of this discussion. Well, Falk Peterson says they're sure that an aircraft like that can be electrified, one carrying 25 to 30 seats. Who do you think is going to get there first? Business people or companies that make jets for business people or companies that will make it for the public? Well, electric-powered aircraft are enjoying a boom at the moment. Last year, the consulting firm Roland Berger found that there were more than 100 electric-powered aircraft projects underway around the world. More than 100 projects involving electric-powered aircraft. 100 projects. How many planes will come out of 100 projects? Slovenia's Pipistrel is only one of them. Spokesman Taja Boskarau says that the company is now making several four-seaters, the most notable probably being the Taurus G4, which is the first fully electric four-seat aircraft in the world. Since then, they developed some other four-seat prototypes with alternative means of propulsion, such as a hydrogen-powered four-seat aircraft, a small plane powered by hydrogen. They've also developed a hybrid engine for a four-seat aircraft. The engine is fully functional, and the aircraft will take off in 2019, according to plan. Pipistrel says that they see training aircraft, two- and four-seaters, like the ones they currently build, as the bulk of the electric plane market for the near future. But they also intend to build a 19-passenger hybrid fuel cell commuter aircraft by 2025. I tell you what, this is sounding ambitious, but it's sounding promising too. Can you imagine the damage we do to the climate when we travel a distance of, say, 20 miles in our car, going from home to work, and then from work back home, maybe, you know, making two or three stops along the way every now and then, whether to a grocery store, gas station, you know, wherever we're stopping. How about when it's a plane affecting the environment over, say, the distance of 200 miles or 300 miles? And then you make that a round trip. That's a lot of pollution. That is a lot of impact. And so I think it's great that they're looking at coming up with a way to do less harm to our one climate, our one environment, our one earth that really belongs to our Creator. He's just giving us the honor, the privilege, the joy of living here. I think it would be great if we show our appreciation by taking better care of it. Again, it's certainly to our benefit as well. We only have one earth on which to live, one climate, one environment in which to live. All right, be back in a few.